Welcome to episode 203 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live October 30th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss recent news or topics and how they relate to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott walk through conversations for Microsoft list items in Microsoft Teams. We also talk about a new URL for viewing all of the different admin centers and portals associated with Microsoft 365 and Azure. Talk a little bit about a new feature coming to Microsoft 365 apps in the publish verification, as well as talk about a few recent announcements from the Message Center, the retirement of the Skype for Business admin center, as well as some new scenes coming to Microsoft 365 or Microsoft Teams Together Mode. Hope you enjoy the episode. Scott, I'm going to make a prediction. This is before the election. This will come out after the election. A rich white guy is going to get elected.
I would amend that statement to say old white guy.
Rich white guy.
Yeah.
And that is the political segment of the podcast for today's episode.
Yeah, there we go. We made it through that.
We are not going to divulge into any more politics.
All right. Well, let's get back into another hidey hole then. Which one do you want to dive into?
Hidey hole, hidey ho. Conversations about SharePoint stuff.
Conversations about conversations. Like, hey, did I tell you can have a conversation in your conversation now?
Is that kind of like commenting on a retweet on Twitter and then commenting on the retweet of the retweet?
Yeah,
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email. So, there is a new feature that you sent me about conversations in SharePoint. So you know how, well, you know, since you sent this to me, but listeners may know that if you have documents and different events going on within a team, you can comment on it. You can have conversations around a document. It shows up in your conversation thread, all of that. Well, we all know document libraries are really just lists that you store documents in. So Microsoft figured, why not let you have conversations about list items that you post in Microsoft lists now associated with the team? So
yes,
not only can you have a discussion about a document, you may now have a discussion about a list item in a Microsoft list that is in your Microsoft team, because once again, Microsoft lists are really just SharePoint lists with a new UI.
Yeah, so now you can have conversations about conversations about conversations just all over the place. Yeah, I don't know. It feels a little bit like cognitive overload. Like you mentioned documents. Document conversations make sense to me because those conversations take place within the context of a document. Yeah. I'm actually not too fond of when somebody posts a document in a chat and then they don't like tag or mention you, but they want your feedback and all of that is sitting in the Teams channel and it's not in the document itself. Like that stuff should be able to follow the document and it rightfully can. And now you have some of those same constructs, like you said, with lists. So if you've created a Microsoft list, really a SharePoint list, but a Microsoft list, and you're exposing that list inside of Teams, you can go to that list and browse to a list item within said list. And then you can click edit at the top of the list item, and that will give you a new conversation card where then you can at mention people within it. And if you at mention them within the list, that gets posted back to the Teams channel. And it starts to do that bifurcated chat thing. And it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at least they're keeping the conversation with the list item.
Yes.
I guess.
Well, from a UI perspective, sure.
Yes. From a UI perspective, because in theory, I guess, I see this as being one of those things that people probably wanted, or they figured people wanted, because if you're doing a issues list, for instance, in a Microsoft list, because that is one of the templates, because we need yet another to-do list of to-dos of our issues, because we didn't have a place to put those before. And you have to have a conversation about a particular item that you're working on or updates about said item. I mean, there really isn't a way to do that in a list. So there is, but it's old. I guess this makes sense in that now you can have those discussions and updates about said issue as part of a conversation.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. In some cases, it's great to have conversation back and forth. And in some of those things, like when you talk about like an issue list and having more of a formalized business process, my next thing that I would want is, well, if I could have conversations on these things, now I want triggers around all of these, right? Anytime somebody posts a new comment to a list item, let's trigger on that and make it into like a real discussion area where maybe I can drive automation or something.
Right.
But that doesn't exist.
But then it goes back to my question is, why aren't you just doing this in Planner? Or
because I already put it in a list.
Like, there's too many places for all these tasks. This is my biggest pet peeve about this, is all of this functionality already exists in other tools. Why do we need another tool, another location for someone to do this? I get some people don't like Planner. Maybe some people don't have access to Planner and they only have access to lists because their IT governing authorities said, you shall not have Planner. So now they're using lists instead. So now we have to build all the same functionality that we have in Planner to use in lists. But then for those people that have everything, it just overly complicates and confuses everything. Like, let's have one tool that does its job and does it really well.
Yep. I think the other thing that's going to potentially throw people off here is they're not going to recognize the way that this works. So back to that Word document example, you and I go into a Word document and we start putting comments in there. If we don't at mention ourselves or anything like that, it's just text that lives in the document and follows the document. So we have that conversation back and forth, but it doesn't post into the channel every single time that a comment is made. In the case of list items, when you do at mentions for these lists that are associated with a team, all those mentions go directly back to the channel's posts. So that all, not just you who like at mention somebody, but so everybody in that conversation, everybody in that team is going to have visibility into that conversation effectively in real time, right? As it's going on in the list item, which could get kind of noisy depending on how much back and forth there is on a given thing.
So here's my scenario. I'm having a conversation about a list item because I'm doing this in Teams, right?
Yes, we do have that specific constraint.
So now, like we said, this is actually a SharePoint list within said team, or a Microsoft list, however you prefer to define this. If I go back to my Microsoft lists, can I see this conversation? Or do I have to access it from Teams in order to see this conversation?
That's a good question. I only tried from Teams.
I did too, because that kind of is a big deal. Which, by the way, my lists, when I first loaded it, doesn't work until I refresh it. I have to open it and then I have to refresh it. So here is my list item. If I open this up,
I see your list item.
In my demo?
Yeah, your test.
Yes. So if I go open this up from my Microsoft Lists app and I'm working 100% out of my Lists app, there is no way to see said conversation. So if one person is working out of Teams and one person is working out of SharePoint or out of the Microsoft Lists interface, they could be missing a ton of information that's all happened within that list.
Yes.
Or about that list item.
Yep. Yes. Yes, they could.
Yeah. That's, I mean, again, it goes back to where the advantage, like you said, with documents is at least this is contained in the document, no matter where you open the document from. So that all of those show up in the post. You don't have to at mention somebody for it to show up in the
right
conversation thread.
That's what I was saying is it all goes back, right? In a document, if I'm not at mentioning right. you, like there's...
It doesn't go back.
Yeah, there's maybe no reason for me to go look. The other interesting thing is once you started that, like once you did the first post in there,
yep.
I can only reply to that. I can't put like another top level thing in there. Because it's all tied back to that same post now in Teams. That same,
oh, you're right.
So there's a hierarchy to comments, right? Typically, we have a comment and a reply. And
right. And this isn't really comment and reply. This is more like, think of this as a one-to-one chat discussion.
So what I'm saying is, I can never put a top-level thing in there because you're the one who put the top-level thing. Like, all I can do is ever reply to a comment that you've left in there now. I can never start one that you have to reply to.
Yes. So it's not, yeah. It's a single conversation thread about a list item. It is not multiple. You can't have multiple unique discussions.
Correct.
About a single list item.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. And then I look at this and then I go, well, oh, that's great. I want to have comments that are now associated with each field. Right. Like in the case of an issue list, I would like to have comments on the priority field. Like, hey, for right. the priority, why did we change or not change that? But the priority doesn't have anything to do maybe with the issue description.
Right. Exactly. Or going back to the whole threaded conversations, you want one thread where somebody's talking about when this is due and another thread about somebody talking about how it's going to get fixed. But in this case, that's all intermingled within a single conversation thread.
Yay,
list. Maybe you should be able to at mention fields in a list item. Or a double at. Somehow you can at mention.
Double at, yes. Yeah, let's go back to wiki markup and see what we can make happen.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. If you actually use this or you have a use case where you think you would use this, can you let us know? Because I am genuinely curious how people would see themselves using this. Based on what we've just done here and playing with it and reading the documentation, I don't know that I would ever encourage anybody to use this. I can't think of a use case because of how, one, you only have the threads and the replies, and yeah, because of all that. There we are. You probably didn't get into cloud engineering to spend hours manually sifting through layers of data or manually creating reports to understand and explain your Azure costs. Neither did the IT pros at ShareGate, which is why they built ShareGate Overcast. ShareGate Overcast is an Azure cost intelligence tool that reduces manually monitoring and helps you make cost-efficient engineering decisions. And it can help you lower your Azure bill. ShareGate Overcast scans your Azure environment daily and analyzes your cost data. It automatically identifies cost issues and gives you the insights you need to fix problems fast. Plus, with personalized cost savings recommendations, you can be sure you're only paying for the resources you need. Best of all, you can get ShareGate Overcast free. Find out more at ShareGate.com/ITPro. That's ShareGate.com/ITPro. So another thing I noticed, just while we're talking about Microsoft lists, another way that all this ties in, and it is becoming very apparent that it's a SharePoint list, is, you know how when you go create a new list in your Microsoft Lists app, and you have all those templates?
Mm-hmm.
This was one advantage to going through the lists interface where you go new lists, and then you can choose like an issue tracker, employee onboarding, work progress tracker, all of that.
Spin up from a template.
Right. So if you go to a SharePoint list or a SharePoint site now and click to create a new list on a SharePoint site, so just the normal site contents new list, you get the exact same templates and options now. So they just took that dialogue from Microsoft Lists to create a new blank list or choose one of the templates. And that is now the default option for creating a new list in a SharePoint site as well.
Well, it is only an option from the site contents page itself. If you go to the add an app page, it is not there.
If you go to add an app page, it isn't there.
Yeah, so go into like settings.
I got too many windows going on here.
And hit add an app in a SharePoint site. And then say you want to do like a custom list. That's just the old modal dialogue.
That's the old one.
So kind of, sort of, sort almost of. Filtering through.
They're trying. Maybe that one will get updated here shortly as well.
All right. So okay. I got one more thing just on this list conversation piece. Because lists live in SharePoint, they're ultimately subject to things like maybe like site retention, right? So a site gets deleted and all the things that were with the site go away. But now because this conversation lived over in Teams, so I took that list item that you had done the comments on and we were going back and forth on.
Oh,
yep. I deleted it, but the whole conversation is still there and still persists in Teams.
Oh, so now if I go try to click in Teams,
it just takes you to the
an empty list
because the list item no longer exists. Yeah.
Huh. So obviously there's some usability stuff there, but that could also potentially be a compliance issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I would view that as more a compliance thing. I think people would be very confused if they clicked on a link and it just never worked, but there's all this context about it. But yes, having that conversation be connected and disconnected from the list item is, yeah, that's rough.
Wow. All right. So, should we stay in the Microsoft 365 space with another nifty website? We've found a website similar to this before, and there was another one that popped up yesterday.
Yeah.
Because there was somebody that created it. I think it was just in GitHub. It was like a GitHub repo that somebody had started updating all this in Markdown. And I have not seen any updates on that one in a really long time.
Yes, I think that was, I want to say that was Robert Crane, Director CIA on Twitter.
That posted about this one?
Well, no, that had that original repo.
Oh, the original one. So there is a new website that, do you have the original Twitter post? I saw a bunch of this on Twitter. So we were both on Twitter last night at like 11 p.m. and this must have popped up for both of us at the same time frame. But there is now a new website, https://msportals.xyz.
Yes. So this was Adam Fowler.
Okay.
Fowler. I'm really bad at names. Like normally I say I'm better at Twitter handles, but I'm not good at Twitter handles when Twitter handles are your name.
Fair enough. So this is all of the Microsoft administrator and end user site links. So he has gone through, and this isn't GitHub. So if you do want to issue some pull requests or add or any of that, the GitHub link is at the top. But this has all of your Microsoft 365 admin portals, Azure IT admin portals, Azure IT admin portals, sub portal links. So sub portals within the admin portals in Azure, Microsoft licensing and support portals, security and defender admin portals, developer portals, end user portals, which is, don't think like all of the different Office applications, but this goes to things like your MFA setup or self-service password reset, change password links, your My Sign-ins site that we've talked about. And then underneath that, he has posted all of the end user portals to all the different applications, and then just other useful Microsoft portals like anti-spam IP D-list. I think that's a D-list request. Azure status, customer digital experience, the demos environment. So a whole bunch of relevant Microsoft and Azure URLs.
Yes. Yeah. One-stop shopping, nicely formatted and put together. So definitely worth a bookmark. And then, like you said, if you happen to know of a URI that's not in that list, you can go ahead and just do a pull request to a GitHub repo, which ultimately is just, yeah, it looks like GitHub Pages just rendering that out, which is nice.
Yeah, is that what that is? Mm-hmm. I couldn't. It would make sense that that's what it would be. It makes it nice and easy. So yeah, handy little site we ran across the other day. There's already a couple pull requests and a couple issues mentioned. Wrong URL for Skype for Business Admin Center. Who is using Skype for Business?
Well, at this point, hopefully there's not many of you left, but unicorns always exist.
And then somebody said filter by search, raised from provide a search box to filter the list of links based on an entered criteria. Control F. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but really, that's how I used that. I just did a control F and I'm like, cloud or security or... So go bookmark it, check it out. All right, Scott, anything else? I feel like we've just been kind of rambly today. I'm still recovering from teaching in Europe this week and getting up and teaching from 2:30 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Some things that should be maybe top of mind for folks just based on when features and functionality are coming out. There's a feature in Azure AD which affects how the consent prompts for applications are shown to end users. And there's this process called publisher verification. So if you publish applications or you create applications in your Azure AD environment, and potentially those are multi-tenant applications or even within your tenant, like if you are a Microsoft partner, you have the ability to associate a valid Microsoft partner network account that's gone through MPN verification with that application registration ID. So certainly if you are building multi-tenant applications that leverage Azure Active Directory as an identity provider with either OAuth or OpenID Connect as the authentication mechanisms, then this is something that potentially affects you. So if you do the association, the nice thing is on the consent prompt, you get like a nice little verified badge that pops up now, a nice little check mark comes up, and the logo of the organization that created the application. So it's not only a prettier prompt, but it potentially makes users feel better about the prompts that are coming up that are asking for their credentials. Now, this also drives a couple other flows. So things like user consent policies can be configured with publisher verification status as one of the things that is included in the policy criteria. So you can say users cannot consent to applications that are not publisher verified, or they can only consent to applications that are publisher verified. And you've had the ability to do this for a little bit now, but in November 2020, which is coming up on us fast, and you know, that's why I say some things like this should be top of mind for you. End users by default are no longer going to be able to grant consent to newly registered multi-tenant apps that are not publisher verified. And they'll get a big nasty warning on the screen that your app is that it's risky and it's coming from an unverified protection or unverified partner.
Got it. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
This is a really nice feature. I'm surprised it actually took them this long to get here, because I've had this before where there's an app I want to use or I want to take advantage of, and I always try to look for ones where I at least recognize the company name, or I can go to the website and I'm like, all right, their website looks okay. But to be able to have some of this verification in there and just have a little bit more trust that this company is who they said they are and they're probably a little bit more trustworthy.
Yes.
It gives me some warm fuzzies and some assurances that I'm not installing an app that's going to go like scrape all my email and send it to some server somewhere else.
Yeah. And the nice thing here is it's not just, oh, I'm in an MPN I'm just in the Microsoft Partner Network. It is, you are in the Microsoft Partner Network and you are verified to be in the network. So anybody can go and swipe the credit card and sign up to be a Microsoft partner or things. Do Action Packs still exist? I don't know if they still exist.
I think they do, or they got renamed.
Yeah, but anybody can go do that.
Yep.
So you would still have this opportunity for bad actors or someone who's acting in a nefarious manner to just say, oh, well, it's worth me spending, you know, whatever it is, like $500 to be a bronze partner and now get my app in there really quick and scam a bunch of users out. But this is both in the network and verified in the partner network. So you've gone through that whole process, which I assume this also means that if it's not clearly called out in the documentation, but if a partner lapses in their partner network status, that the application would no longer be MPN verified or provider verified.
And it would be really nice too if they'd even alerted you. Like if you had an app that was verified and all of a sudden for some reason this partner became unverified, that you would get some alert, hey, you have this app installed by this partner. They are no longer verified, blah, blah, blah. Again, because you could get verified and then go push an app update and all of a sudden everybody starts complaining, they unverify you. It'd be nice to be able to let everybody else know that, hey, you may be at risk.
That is definitely not there today.
Yeah.
Put in a feature request.
Wish list.
Add it to user voice.
Is there a user voice for publisher verification? Would this be the Active Directory user voice?
It would be the Azure Active Directory user voice.
User voice. So yeah. Publisher verification. You had mentioned this one a few weeks ago, and I had not got into it at all.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about it. You know, I think when things are coming up like that, it's worth calling them out.
Yep.
Because it is driving to a new behavior within Azure AD if you choose to not go and configure consent policies around that. There's some other new stuff that just came out as well. So the Government Community Cloud, GCC, for Office 365, they just had their FedRAMP High security assessment report get published. Or now they finally have that FedRAMP High security assessment report for Office 365 government, which it's good to have those assessments come out and clearly spell out how Microsoft and the contractors they work with are really meeting all those requirements and all the compliance check marks that need to be in place for a government community cloud.
Got it. Nice. So I just saw another one too, because we were talking about this. This one, what's the date? Oh, I haven't ordered that. Wow. Sorry. Squirrel. I didn't order that shipped. That was supposed to be delayed for 1 or 2 weeks. So we were talking about that wrong link for the Skype for Business Admin Center. Yesterday, Microsoft announced that we will be retiring the Skype for Business Admin Center starting on December 1st, 2020. 1 month. It's going away. Instead, we recommend the utilization of the Teams Admin Center, which is where we will continue to invest our development resources. So this is, yeah, start using the Teams Admin Center. If you're still using Skype for Business Admin Center, start figuring out the Teams Admin Center because you got a month. And that's going to start going away.
Yeah, yeah. Get used to the Teams one.
Yep. And there's some other new things too. Did you see there's new, I popped open my message center to start seeing if there was anything else interesting in there. There's new together mode scenes too, Scott. We can now join each other in an outdoor amphitheater in together mode.
The hardest part about together mode is getting everybody to coordinate looking dead on at their cameras at exactly the same time. I will give it that it's fun to get to the end of a meeting and you want to have that team event picture.
Yep.
It's just, it's so
fun. It's like getting kids to look at the camera.
It is like that. And because it's in Teams and you're trying to coordinate everybody, it's just such a forced action.
Right. Well, and let's face it, everybody always wants to know how they look. So their tendency is to do, I mean, even what we do, like I look over here at my monitor to see how I look in together mode, but then I mess it all up because I'm no longer looking at my camera.
Yes. And inevitably, I also have this innate ability. Like some people have, you know, what they would consider to be a superpower. My superpower is I can blink in any picture that's taken of me, even if it is a virtual screenshot of together mode in Teams.
That is indeed a superpower.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, so if you look at this announcement, all the together mode scenes, are like, it's a tabletop. There's three different auditorium ones. There's a conference room table. If you look at those, all of those are designed to be like torso up, right? Mm-hmm. The outdoor amphitheater is like concrete ledges. So in theory, if you were actually sitting there, it would be a full body. You're sitting on it. You see your knees and your legs. How are you going to do that with Together Mode? Are they going to put like fake bodies on us? Or is this going to be a whole bunch of like busts decorating these concrete steps?
We'll have to see.
So with that said, maybe we should wrap up before my kids get completely out of control.
They're already out of control.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're not popping up on screen yet. So far, they're just screaming and yelling in the background. They're not trying to scale my chair.
All right. We can let you go with that.
Okay. Go enjoy your weekend. Go trick-or-treating. Are you going trick-or-treating or are you staying inside? Are you going to go get candy from strangers that you don't
know? I'm telling you, a hidey hole all the way around. We're going to do like the Halloween candy hunt inside the house.
All right.
Plus it's Florida. It's still hot outside. Like all the candy.
It's 57 this morning. It's only supposed to get up to 75 today.
Yeah, but then all the candy gets melty anyway. Like,
that's
Halloween's
true.
In Florida are kind of like miserable events. By the time you dress up and put the whole costume on, and all you do is go outside and walk around for an hour and get bit by mosquitoes.
And sweat.
Yeah.
Like last year, it was 95 or something on Halloween. I think we went swimming on Halloween last year.
I need none of the sweat. I need none of the mosquitoes. Like, COVID's enough. I don't need to worry about like West Nile virus or something else.
All right. Sounds good. Well, enjoy your candy hunt indoors in your weekend, and we will talk to you next weekend.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Or next week, post-election. Yes. Oh, we'll have all kinds of stuff we can talk about next time.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
We'll talk to you later, Scott. Yep.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.